This is CliffCentral.com. Property,
I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
Hello, everybody. How are you today? You know when you hear my voice, it's time for Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, every Thursday here on CliffCentral.com. As I said to you last week, what we're doing this year is that we're switching it up on you. We are not only just talking property, we are now talking lifestyle. So whether it is traveling, as we did last week with South African National Parks, you can actually get the link and listen to that podcast that happened last week with Mbali Ngomezulu. Go to cliffcentral.com or go to our Facebook page, Living It Up, and find out. And actually, it was such a good show that Hubi Mboya, who comes on after my show here on Cliff Central, wants to have Mbali at an event. So, you know, that's wonderful for the show. This week, and I know you guys are going to go, oh, you're only inviting your friends, but my friends are really, really, really... They're really accomplished. Today we are talking food. Last week we were talking, obviously, travel for destinations, romantic destinations for next month. We were also talking destinations for Easter ahead of, because you know, if what happens with people is that you come out of December and you're so depressed to be back at work. I wanted you guys to look forward to something. Today, however, we're talking to one of my favorite people. I'm not ashamed to say, she is a friend of mine. She is a creative, a mama, a friend, somebody's child. and then she happens to have this amazing career where she cooks. Yeah. You can find out more from her blog, The Kitchen Marta. Marta is an M-A-R-T-Y-R, people. She has her own, do you know, Mukhadi, I still have the chili things you made me. I like eat them like in stages.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so delighted to have you here, Mukhadi.
Thank you for having me here.
It is so amazing to be able to catch up after such a long time. For those of you who are listening for the first time and wondering who Mukhadi Itsoeng is, you should know her name. If you've listened to other radio stations, you would have heard her talking about food at other radio stations. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention them, but I won't. But we worked together at True Love, where Mukhadi was the food editor and I was the editor. And recently, you just did Destiny magazine.
Yes, I did. I just finished my stint with them.
Mm.
Awesome brand. So yeah. It was just lovely doing something different from True Love.
Yes, exactly.
Still doing food. Yes. Just a different take.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So I thought before we get to what I wanted to do with the purpose of the show is to have a real discussion around, you know, what people do at the beginning of the year is they go on a diet.
Yeah.
Right? Which is no.
It's not sustainable.
Nobody's gonna but when your boss has frustrated you and you are sick and tired in mid-Feb, you're going to forget it, right?
Definitely.
So I wanted to look at things like that. Both you and I are sort of, what do I call it? People would call us tree huggers.
Yeah.
So we don't believe in colorants, MSG.
Yes.
And I thought we could go into things like that because it's quite important, particularly when you are a mother, for all the mothers.
Definitely.
To be putting the right things and
in their kids' lunchboxes.
Exactly.
Especially the lunchbox, because
they
spend a lot of their time at school. You know, from now on at school, and what you feed them at school is essential to their brain functioning, to them being productive human beings.
Exactly.
At school.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And so I wanted to have you here, and you know, you guys, you're going to be able to hear a lot of Mukhadi throughout the year. Mm. Almost every month, me and Mukhadi will get together and talk about food, because you guys, you'll read Mukhadi in Destiny or wherever. Yeah. You'll read the blog, but there is something about hearing a person and that writing makes, it down and playing it over and saying, "Oh my gosh, okay, I didn't know that. And I didn't know that." So we're gonna touch on a lot of things today. But I thought maybe quickly we can start with you, with your journey into food. How did it start?
Oh, wow. It seems like such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Maybe it is such a long time ago. Yeah. But, you know, I was, I studied media. That's what I studied. Yes. And I worked as a media planner. But my passion was always cooking. And I was always cooking for people. And one time a friend said, "Look, I've got a marketing conference coming up." He actually worked at the SABC. Mm. "And your food is always so amazing when we come visit, or, you know, when we're just chilling. Would you be interested in cooking for my marketing conference?"
Imagine.
And then I worked, at that time, I worked for Grey Advertising.
Mm.
And I was a media planner and buyer. And on my way up, you know how it is.
Yeah, exactly.
On your way up. And this guy was like, "Look, I'll pay you. This is how much the gig pays. And it's just one day. You just do the marketing conference. It's one day. You're feeding us for one day. Mm. Would you be interested?" And I was like, "How much does it pay?"
Exactly.
Because I got a job. I got a J-O-B.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? How much does this thing pay? And the amount actually was double my salary.
Whoa.
And I was like,
wait a minute.
I'm writing myself off on that day. I'm not going to work.
Exactly.
I'm coming to do your marketing conference.
Exactly.
So I went and I did this marketing conference and everybody loved the food.
Wow.
And that for me was, you know, doing it. I mean, I cooked for 50 people. It was the first time cooking for 50 people. I'd never cooked. I was always cooking for 8 people.
Yeah, exactly.
The most, 10 people,
yeah.
You know. 50 people. I cooked the whole night. I remember I cooked with my sister. My sister was at varsity then.
Yeah.
We cooked and cooked and cooked, and then we delivered the food, and everything went well, and everybody raved about the food. And how I felt after that was, that's why I ended up changing my everything.
Yeah, because your passion is your purpose.
Yes, I felt so good. I wasn't tired. I wasn't whining. It felt so good.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
To watch people love what you do. And I was like, this is what I want to do.
Exactly.
And mind you, I think a month later, I quit my job. And I started on my journey with food, and I opened a catering company, and I didn't know nothing about food. I was just like winging it. I was just cooking what I cook at home, and people were loving it.
I think winging it is such an important part of life. You know, both you and I have been lucky enough to spend time in the States, and one of the things that American culture, and I don't consider Donald Trump to be representative of Americans in any way, and we really should not think that all Americans are like that, but what America taught me is that just start.
Yeah.
So what South Africans do is that we get stuck
in the planning. And how am I going to do this? How am I going to just do it? Just do it. And that's what I did. I suppose youth, I was young then.
Yes.
And I wasn't hung up. But I mean, what that taught me as a, because I'm a food entrepreneur now. That's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and what that taught me was just do it.
Mm.
Just do it. You know, and it's one of those things, if you follow your passion, the universe really does catch you.
It really does catch you.
It's amazing. If you've got that thing that says, do it, just do it.
You know? So when we started the podcast last year, I had, we have this hashtag,
Yes.
The land. And so I wanted to have a discussion about property, educate people about property.
Yeah.
But as you know, as a lifestyle person, my passion
is always
traveling, is
food,
eating out, is
fashion. It's
and I'm like, this is what I should be doing.
Yeah.
My passions are my purpose.
Yes.
So I decided to start this year, like, okay, I'm going to spread it. And the thing is that you and I have access to things other people don't have access to.
Exactly.
And I did the same thing you did. I was like, okay, look, make your passions your purpose. Make that. You must earn money.
Then you'll never ever work a day in your life.
Exactly. I mean, people say that all the time, but it's true.
It's very true. I mean, I work crazy hours, Lerato. I work and I'm, you know, people are always like, how do you do it? I don't feel it. I love it. I love every single hour of my work. I love it. Even, I mean, when I worked at True Love, I love producing those pages.
Yeah.
I love, for me, it's like, I wouldn't do anything else.
Exactly. And
you know?
We worked so hard.
So hard.
But, so then tell us about the journey of Locha Home Foods.
Yes. So I then, you know, started cooking, and then eventually I went overseas. I went to New York to learn how to cook. Mm. And, but, well, mainly to learn how to cook, but also because my mom passed away the year before I went to New York. And what my, I was so hurt about my mom's death that what I took away from that was she never lived her true life. Mm. Because my mom was like this amazing hostess. She threw the most elaborate dinner parties and she always wanted to run a food company, you know, and she just never did it because she was somebody's wife. She was Dr. Mang Mang's wife. She wanted to be, you know, she had to support her husband.
Yes.
And then when, you know, later on in her life, then she was like, no, she's a mom. She needs to do other things. And, you know, she never really followed her passion. Mm. And I was like, I don't want to die like that. Mm. You know, my mom died at 50 and sure. I was like, I don't want to die like that. Yeah. I don't want to die not having lived my passion. So after my mom died, I decided, okay, I love cooking and this is what I'm going to do. So I went to New York and I literally...
Be brave with your life.
I was
life.
Brave.
Be
I was
brave
so brave.
With your life.
I was like, whatever, you know, the worst thing that can happen is that I'll come back home, you know, and then carry on with my mundane life.
But the thing about being brave with your life is that you will never know what you're capable of until you live it. And also, when you think about that safe, mundane life that so many of us are told to hold on to, what actually happens is that you think about... Sure, if you have a near-death experience, like I've had one, you think, this ain't worth it.
This is not worth it. This is, it's not, like, no.
It's not life. Uh-uh. It's not life. Not you life know? At all.
Yeah, so then then I went to New York. When I came back New York for me was, I lived my best life. Because nobody knows you there, right?
Exactly.
And I was that kid. I was like, okay, I've got this much money. I had very little money. I'm in South African rand. Yeah. I had no money, literally. And I remember I paid for a hotel room for 3 days. And I was like, in these 3 days, please God, can I find something that will, like a job? I'll work at a restaurant. Because my whole thing, when I left South Africa, I was still cooking, but I was still a media planner.
Yeah.
I was a freelance publicist. You know, for people. And I was like, please God, please God, please make it happen. And I got to New York. The first day I slept at that hotel room, the second day a friend told me about Madiba restaurant
in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. They were like, go to Madiba, try it out. Maybe they're hiring. They're always, you know, hiring South Africans. I was like, brilliant. It's in a food space. I'll get to do awesome things. I walked into Madiba. As I walked in, the owner, Mark, was like, wow, where are you from? And I remember I had my Xhosa skirt on and I had a t-shirt. It was, and a jacket and my, my turban. Yeah. I was like an African kid, you know? And she was like, oh my God, where are you from? And I was like, hi, I'm Khadi, who are you? I'm looking for a job. And he was like, oh, I'm Mark, I'm the owner. Well, you hired. And
wow.
I was like, all because of me. It's not because of anything, but because of who I was. Just yourself. Just be yourself. Yeah. I was myself. I didn't try hard. I didn't try to be anything. And I was good enough. You know?
See, the thing is, when you have a divine appointment, nobody can take it away from you. I always say to people, what is yours won't miss you.
No.
What is yours will never
we'll come
miss
to you.
You.
Exactly.
Many people would have walked into this restaurant dressed exactly the same way and not had the impact.
And not had, exactly.
But you walk with the purpose of being you.
Yes.
You
know? And my whole thing was like, if it's not for me, it's not going to be with me.
Exactly.
You know? And I got hired and immediately I started the next day. I moved out of the... Oh, before I moved out, a friend's cousin in New York was living in New Jersey working on Wall Street. So my friend contacted him and was like, my friend is in New York, doesn't know anyone, please just watch out for her. So he called me. He called me up. He was like, I got, you know, your number from your friend, and what are you up to? Where are you staying? I was like, I'm staying at this hotel. It's very expensive. and I've got no money. This is my last money. I used it on the hotel. So he's like, no, come. Why are you staying in a hotel? Come stay with me.
Exactly.
And I was like, what? He's like, come stay with me. I mean, I've got a one bedroom apartment, but you could sleep on, I was like, I'll sleep on the floor.
Listen. This is one of the things I love about New Yorkers.
Yeah.
New Yorkers are taught to help
other people
out. It's
you
amazing.
Know? So I went and I lived with him, and he was like, look, I'm a bachelor. I don't cook. I eat out every day. And I was like, well, I'm a brilliant cook. So I was like, okay, I'll help you with the rent. He's like, no, don't help me with the rent. Just cook for me. Okay. And that was our deal. Oh. And I lived on his couch. It was a sleeper couch. I lived on his couch for like 2-3 months.
Wow.
And I started earning dollars at Madiba. And before you knew it, I had my own apartment in Harlem with awesome people. And wow. I was living the New York life. But yeah. more than anything, I learned how to be resilient in New York, because nobody knows you, nobody cares. You could be sleeping on the street literally, and no one would even care, you know.
And also, I'm sure that it was also valuable to see the food and beverage industry from
an
international perspective.
And I wanted that. That's why I'd gone to that's why New York in particular, because I've always wanted a deli, and I was like, I want delis. New York has got that, you know, Brooklyn, the whole Jewish community, because that's where
Dean
the daily,
DeLuca,
the Dean and DeLuca's, and that's where the daily idea comes from, you know? And I was like, that's where I'm going. And I went, I didn't know anyone. My dad was like, you crazy. You're mad. We're happy.
Yeah.
Where you think you're going? You can't go, you can't, you know? And I was like, whatever, guys.
But only, did Steve Jobs say? The crazy people are the ones who actually get to change the world, right?
Yes. So I came back from New York. I was in New York for like a year and a bit, a year and a half, I think. When I came back, I came back because my sister was sick. She had, you know, family issues. So I was like, you know, I'll stay for a month and then I'll go back to New York and continue, because I love New York. It was so amazing.
Oh my gosh.
But something.
It's my favorite city.
Yes.
It's my favorite
city. The people are amazing.
They're amazing.
The summer's amazing. The winter's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
So. What happened is that when I, something profound happened when I was here. First, my sister got better, and I was like, okay, I'm leaving. I'm going back to New York on the 11th. I think the 10th or the 11th, I can't remember, no, the 12th. I was leaving on the 12th of September. And on the 11th of September, 9/11 happened. The day.
Oh, no.
Yes. The day I was scheduled to, the day before I was scheduled to leave, 9/11 happened, and you can believe my dad was like,
You ain't going nowhere.
You're like, and I was like, I don't know, going anywhere. Yeah. I don't want to be anywhere near that.
Yeah, and the thing is, those of us who are old enough, I remember that afternoon.
God.
Being at the Fair Lady offices, watching CNN when the second tower's
been
hit.
Mm.
You know when you think you're watching like a
Jerry
Bruckheimer,
happening.
Will Smith movie?
Yes. Yes.
I wouldn't have gone either. Yes. I would have been like, I was so sad. We were crying in the newsroom. We couldn't believe that other people could do this.
Could,
to the human
you know, race. I was so traumatized, and hearing and then phoning my friends in New York, and they were like, oh, I was on the way to where, and this happened. And I was just so traumatized. I was like, I'm not going back there. It's too much. And, you know, as luck would have it, I was this girl now, back in South Africa. I have to make a plan. I want to continue with my food journey. What must happen now? You know, Jan comes, and I'm like, okay, I need to either go work at a restaurant or something, you know? And what I forgot to tell you is that when I was in New York, I took cooking classes.
Wow.
As part of my thing, because I was like, during the day, I'm just at home, recovering from the night before of grooving.
Exactly.
So I might as well learn something, you know, learn
some time effectively.
Exactly. So I went and I registered at the new school, and I learned how to cook. I learned how to be a chef, and I learned how to be a food stylist. I learned food styling and cooking, and I was like, girl, I love
it. One of the baddest food stylists.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
The baddest. And the thing is, I'm not just saying that from a friendship perspective, but I mean that as you know, we had deliverables.
Yes,
you and I,
I
had to go and meet advertisers, and we had to do food
and
supplements. It was a real situation.
Real.
And every single time, you like one
of
the best to ever do it.
I had fun doing it.
Yeah.
You know, again, I had fun. I wasn't scared to just explore.
Exactly.
You know, and that's I suppose food styling is exactly like like fashion.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You have to just push the boundaries and also just not be afraid.
Yeah.
You know?
Because we eat with our eyes.
Yes.
So styling the food, even at home, even when I'm having crackers and snook.
Exactly. I always see your page.
No,
I'm, like,
I'm serious. I'm like,
yes.
And I think of like how you used to do even simple things like
simple things.
Amotwana, and just
make it look. You know,
it's important.
It's important. You eat with our eyes
exactly.
first.
Exactly.
You know? So when I came back then, I was that girl. Like, oh, fortunately, there was a post out at Woolworths. They were looking for chefs. I applied and I was like, ugh, I don't know, whatever. I applied and I got in, and I was one, because they just opened Woolworths Foods. And I was one of the first people to come, you know, come work for them. And I worked for Woolworths. I learned a lot from them. And then when I left Woolworths, I actually moved to Cape Town and I worked for Woolworths. When I came back.
That's actually where we met each other.
Yes.
Over 10
yes,
years.
Over
ago.
Yes.
Ooh,
exactly.
I was looking at those pictures. I was like, you, me, you.
Dude, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Oh my God.
You went down. I was yes. crazy.
Dude,
guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So when I came back, I was like, I'd learned enough at Woolworths, and I've always wanted to do my own thing, which is why I even went to New York. I grew up as an entrepreneur. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. We ran butcheries, shops, you know what I'm saying? And I've always wanted to just do my own thing. So after Woolworths, I felt I knew enough, and I was like, I'm gonna do this on my own. When I got to Joburg, another friend introduced me to Stefan Cohen, and I became Stefan's chef at Moloko. He had just opened Moloko, and I started working with Stefan, and we did amazing things, and I made of money.
Listen, you can say a shitload of money. That's what we want to hear up in this piece.
Shitload of money with Stefan. And he was like my agent. He'd get me jobs, and and it was awesome. And then the restaurant next door was selling. So he was like, look, you've made a shitload of money. There's a restaurant next door. You don't have to work from my kitchen anymore. You can work every day from here. You can
So excited. Remember how
wretched
night we had at your restaurant. It was in Rosebank.
My word. We had the best time.
The best time.
So I went and I put in an offer, got the restaurant. My sister, my brother-in-law came on board. We did the restaurant. And it was crazy.
And is it true that you also worked with the former First Lady of South Africa?
Yes. Mom, actually, she's still my client even till today.
Ah, Mom Zanele.
I mean, I've got awesome. And all my clients are like moms to me, you know. Mama Mujangu Gumbi, she's my mom.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Mama Geraldine Muleketi, she's my mom.
Oh,
cook. She'll call me like a day before. Honey, I need. And I'll be like, drop everything and I attend to her because she's my mom. They just give such motherly love. Like, they just,
it's probably the spirit of your mom
providing that. Yes. And I always get so much love from those people. So we did, I mean, at Locha, you were a wall.
Such a wallflower.
At Locha. Locha just, was something else. You know, we ran the restaurant for 3 years. Mm. After 3 years, I promise, you remember how it was.
Yeah.
I was done. Yeah. I was like, I'm done. No. I can't. I've got bags for days. Ginaldi Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
I drink like a fish just to stay awake.
Yeah. And we were all like, I mean, we were there almost every Friday.
Yes.
Because you're next to a
yes.
club as
next
well.
Next to a club was terrible.
Yeah, insane. Yes.
And from Thursday, Pusa Thursday, all the way up to Sunday, you're just like, no.
Yeah.
You know? But it was a great experience for me because it actually opened my light out for something else around food, you know? I was like, okay, I've done the restaurant. But fortunately, during the Locha stint, another person approached me to do... I actually did catering for Tribute Magazine when it launched.
Mm.
So I got Eben Kion asked me to do the catering. We loved it. It was all amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
This is what happened. So can I tell you something, guys? By the way, if you've just tuned in, you're tuned in to Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabala. We're on a live every Thursday here on clipcentral.com. You can also follow our Facebook page, Living It Up, and you can get links to previous shows. You'll get to see what Mohadi looks like. And later on, towards the end of the show, she looks fly, by the way, let me just say.
Oh, thank you.
And at the end of the show, I will ask Mohadi to give details, because I know every now and again people do want to hear from you and get in touch with you, because it's such an inspiring story to hear a sister who basically decided to, while flying by the seat of her underpants, also
all the time
make these great connections. And and we will for the next part of the show be able, we know a lot of people, schools opened yesterday.
Yes.
There was a lot of people into new first days of school. You see on the ground.
Oh
and
my
Facebook,
God, I remember
everywhere.
It's just such an emotional time,
right?
First day.
Sure. Oh. Exactly. So we're going to talk about sort of the ethos of Locha Home Foods. And it's important to me because when Mahadi explained, and this was years ago, when you explained it, it appealed
to you,
to me as a person. And I think there are a lot of people who are going to identify a lot of the things that we eat as black people in South Africa are out of necessity.
Yes.
Because of the political system and what it did to us.
Exactly.
And the exclusion.
Yeah.
And so we've had to learn new eating habits and new ways to conduct ourselves, because what you put in your body, you know, people talk about your health and this 80% of it is what you put in your body more than exercising. You can be on the treadmill forever. But
if you're getting off the treadmill and eating don't even bother.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is not about dieting. I think we want to make it really clear.
Yeah.
This is about understanding your food and knowing what to say.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The ethos of Locha Home Foods, down to the branding, for me, it felt like you realized through your various experience the things that were not right, the things that you wanted to correct, and the right way to cook. Not that there's a wrong way to cook, but
the right way to cook. You know, Lerato, growing up, I come from a family of cooks. My grandmother from my mom's side was a chef. She worked in Durban as a cook back then. They were called cooks. And my other grandmother was a farmer. And she was rural Limpopian farmer. You know, she subsistent farmer. So she farmed everything she ate. She grew herself.
Because they ain't call it organic now.
You know? So from her, and I spent a lot of time with my paternal grandmother. And I'm named after her. So I'm like the first child from my dad. So at a certain age, I'm a Mulubedi girl. Mm. So at a certain age, you have to go stay with your grandmother.
Mm.
So she can teach you the ways. So she can teach you the ways of your people. And she can teach you how to farm. So I stayed with her. And I used to go with her to the fields. And, you know, I learned so much. I learned the value of food. Where food comes from. And that's so important. Because when you know that spinach takes 3 months to grow from seed all the way, you appreciate, you know, you appreciate what you're eating and you understand what you're eating, you know. And my grandmother's food was very, very simple.
Yeah, you're saying it's very simple.
Very simple, very, very easy. I mean, she boiled most things, but so you actually got to taste the food. You know, it wasn't all lathered with oil and all sorts of things and grease and too much salt or spices or anything. It was pure.
Because, you know, I recently had it. By the way, it was my mother's birthday on Tuesday.
Oh, happy birthday to your mom.
Yeah, I love your mom.
Oh, because you've met my mom.
She's so awesome. And, like, I am so grateful because both of you and I have lost parents. And I've lost my dad. And you were there, luckily, during this very difficult time. And I was just sort of chatting to her about she had high blood pressure at some point. And I said, you've got to stop using iodated salt. My mom's a great cook.
Yeah.
But it's learning simple things like
that.
And now her blood pressure's back.
Is back. Yeah.
Because once
Himalayan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's simple things, you know? And I mean, what I learned, like I was saying, what I learned from my grandmother was just to appreciate food for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the basics of it. You know? And so when we started Locha, the whole thing was we wanted to showcase African food, but awesome African food, and not the bastardized version of African food, you know. My grandmother lived...
Yeah, because you know what happens now. People think they're switching it up for the sake of switching it up, but like, you gotta know the culture, you gotta respect the people.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't make dombolo and put eggs and put sugar in it. It's like, no.
This is not a Puff Daddy song, it's not a remix. We ain't trying to do the remix.
No, come on, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
And those are the kind of things, you know, the things that we've taken African food and we've literally just made it into something else.
Exactly.
You know, my grandmother lived until she was 90. My other grandmother lived until she was 102.
Wow.
And she drank. She drank. She loved her beer.
Girl, me and my wine.
She loved her beer.
Like, separating me. Yeah. Me and my wine. And the thing is, people get wrong. Like, you look at Uncle Hugh.
Yeah.
Right? When he, you know, with Harry Belafonte and all these people. You read Still Grazing. And they were tearing it the fuck up.
Like, oh, my God.
They were living, right?
They were.
But doesn't he look good.
He looked awesome.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because what you put into your body, like food, because food is sustenance, you know? And my grandmother's taught me that. I was like, I could live until I'm 100.
Yep.
You know, if I take care of the basics, you know, and that's what we wanted Locha to be. We wanted to showcase African food for what it is.
So
and
growing it yourself is also
obviously a huge part of it. Yeah. We get most of our stuff from organic farmers. We get, you know, from local people, local farmers. There's a lot of local farmers that are not getting their produce bought by the big spas and the big, you know, the big retailers, and they struggle.
Yeah.
I still buy till this day because now it's summer. So summer is Morocco season.
Yes.
And in Morocco, you can't get it after April. Forget it.
Exactly.
You're not getting, you're going to probably get chimulia or whatever, but you're not going to get the original tepe, the south one, you know? And my grandmother, I remember her, what they used to do is because they knew summer was only a few months and Morocco comes out and there's Morocco everywhere, they learned how to preserve it.
Mm.
So they'd cook it, dry it out in the sun-dried literally, and then package it into plastic bags and then keep it for the winter. So you'd have Morocco all throughout the year.
That's clever.
Do you know what I'm saying? And those are like simple things. Those are traditional methods of preserving food, and you still got the nutrients, you still got everything there for you know, to have throughout your year. I mean, we didn't eat as much, our grandmothers and our people never ate as much meat as we do right now.
Yeah.
You know, we eat a lot.
We're trying
of meat.
To get people to understand.
Oh my God.
Meat is not, and I know, once again, I always go back to politics because a huge part of the decisions we make as black South Africans is linked to the historical genocide that happened in this country.
Exactly.
It's because you figured that when you had money, that's when you had meat.
That you need,
so meat has always been equated with money. You
and
can
wealth.
Afford it.
Exactly. And meat is literally one of the things that are killing us.
Yeah.
You know, meat and sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar, I mean, in the 70s, sugar gives you go. It's like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
You know, sugar is that thing that eats away at our bodies, at our bones, which is why it creates inflammation in your body.
Exactly. And meat also stays in your body for an inordinate so long your body, so it doesn't digest as easily. White meat, fish and vegetables, they move through you.
Exactly. Light, we need to
lighter. Yeah. We need to be much, much
lighter. Exactly.
So I actually now have basil, thyme, rosemary, and parsley. I chose.
Yeah.
I went to a shop, and it's like little pots.
Yes.
That's what people need to understand. It's not nothing major. It's like little pots that I just water.
Exactly.
And instead of giving, you know, retailers my money,
you just snip and they grow.
Which
snip
is what I did.
Snip and they
today.
Grow.
Yep. And it's important to obviously, Mukhari and I are not trying to say go and grow a farm.
Yeah.
But so, you were talking about where you buy your food from. Is it from local, smaller?
Yes, I normally buy from local, smaller people.
Okay.
Purely because I know. For instance, my Morocco, I buy it in Alex. These ladies that sell it, go Alex. It's fresh.
Mm.
Every day they come in with fresh produce and they go and pick it themselves.
Wow.
So if there's anything wrong, I go back to them. I'm like, what's this now?
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas if you buy stuff from big retailers, nobody cares. Nobody knows where it comes from. No, it's like, it's a batch number 10, 3, 4, 5, 4. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's also nice to know that you're contributing to
local, but it's
also
cheaper. I mean, I buy my vegetables for home. I buy all my vegetables from the Joburg.
The one in the CBD.
Yes.
Yeah,
city.
Yes.
City deep.
Oh.
I buy my vegetables there, my fruits there. It's cheap.
Yeah.
It's cheaper. I always come home with everything.
Yeah.
And I also know organic farmers there. You know what I'm saying? I know who plants their stuff organic. I know the people. So I go there and I choose and I get all the freshest things. Every day.
I need to go with you. I haven't been for years. I promise you,
Lerato, 200, 300 rands, you've got a stashed fruit. I made like mangoes for like 30 rands for a box, you know, big box of 8 mangoes for like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I need to go with you.
Yeah,
there.
But if you go to Pick and Pay or any other place, you pay for your
exactly.
tea, you know?
And obviously you'll go there for utilities, but yes. it's very important for food. If you're just listening and you're wondering who I'm talking to, you can find her on Instagram. It's Mokgadi Itsweng, M-O-K-G-A-D-I-I-T-S-W-E-N-G. And her Twitter feed, I mean, her Instagram feed is quite lovely because it's everything that we're talking about now.
Yes.
It's the places that you're going to.
Yes.
It's what you're cooking.
What I'm cooking.
It's,
and what
it's your
my
life.
My business, my work, my child.
Exactly. It's all of that.
Yes.
So let's now get into how to help people get to where they need to get to. Let's start with lunch boxes.
Yeah.
Let's start with your kids. Yesterday was the first day.
Yes.
Whether they're in primary school or high school,
yeah.
At some point you're going to have to make them food.
Food.
Because we
exactly.
don't know what they're eating. Sometimes you know, our schools, the food is loaded with MSG. What should you consider when you're thinking of a packed lunch for kids?
So me, what I normally do with my son, well, now he's in boarding school, so I don't feed him anything.
Oh my God, he's
a big guy. He's a big guy. But first of all, kids, you know, and that's the thing about school, you know, you have to just be very, very clever. Because kids, other people's food.
Yes.
If they think my lunch does, it looks too healthy or
exactly.
I'd rather have that one's lunch. So
yeah,
what
the
I
carrot
don't,
with the broccoli and the boiled chicken.
No one's having that. I'm having the guinea from across the road.
Exactly.
You know what
the
I'm saying?
Fried fish.
Yes, the fried fish. So what I normally do is I make sure that, for instance, if you're going to give them bread, make sure you give them something that's nuttier. So it's still brown bread, it's still sandwiches and whatever, but the bread is actually what inside the bread is with seeds. You know those breads, they've got a lot of those. I think a lot of the retailers sell them now with seeds in them. Those seeds are amazing. They really, really do help your digestive system. They help, they give you energy. So your child is not eating empty calories. They're eating stuff that they can use.
Yeah.
Do you know what
because,
I'm saying?
So I'm going to start making my own granola bars.
Yes.
I found a recipe.
Oh,
those
are amazing.
And I have an allergy to
yes.
nuts.
Yes.
So I can't just
you
go
can't
to
just
the shop
exactly
and
buy.
And
exactly.
Buy whatever.
Yes.
And I'm going to use prunes to substitute
yes, the sugar.
Yes. So, and I want to do that to show other people that it's not as difficult as you think it is.
No.
I'll put it up when I do eventually do
exactly.
it. Exactly. It's about addressing things like that. Like
exactly.
a granola bar can help your kid
yes.
at like 1 in the afternoon
yes.
when they're crashing.
And it's sweet.
Yeah, as opposed
and
to like
you can
chocolate.
Even use dates. Dates
yeah.
are awesome. I mean, I used to buy, I think Nature's Choice has got those. They're like little date things that they've chopped up and grilled. So they're actually called Jerusalem toffees. They're dates. There's nothing in there. It's just roasted dates. But they're so delicious. It's like you are eating a toffee.
Wow.
And dried fruit. Dried fruit always works. I mean, dried mangoes, you know what I'm saying? Fruit. Like I said, go to the market, buy your apricots, because well, no, it's summer. So there's a lot of yummy fruits out there.
Exactly. And what I also want to reiterate, reiterate to Mokgadi's point, is it's not just the kids' lunches. You have to eat this at home.
Exactly.
You have to eat this.
Yes.
If the kid is like, you're having the sweets, but
I'm having the fruit.
So it must be a lifestyle.
It has to be. And you, the parent, has to lead by example. Always, without a doubt. Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
So those are sort of things that you... Snacks, as it were.
Yes.
But in terms of the lunches themselves, like, do you have any ideas for people in terms of, you mentioned the bread.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wraps are always great.
Wraps
are easy. Wraps, and kids love wraps.
Yes.
There's something exciting. And also, the thing about it is that you do your wraps and then you cut them up and you make them look amazing for the kids.
Yeah.
But even for you, a wrap is amazing.
Oh, it's lovely.
Can use leftover meat with vegetables. I always, you know, we always underestimate vegetables. You know, my son has always loved tomatoes. You know those baby tomatoes?
Yes.
Like he would, even till this day, he snacks on them like it's a sweet.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what
I'm,
and those things, those are things that you teach your child. Vegetables are delicious.
Yeah.
You
they
know, but
really are.
Start them off with the sweet stuff.
Yep.
The carrots, carrot sticks, tomatoes. So it's not obvious. You're not saying, "I we're healthy" or whatever. You're just saying this is nice.
Yeah.
You don't put a label on the vegetables.
Exactly.
Have your vegetables. Just say have a carrot.
Yeah.
Have some tomatoes. Have, you know what I'm saying? Have a cucumber.
Yep.
Kids love that.
Yep.
Even my sister's kids, even till this day, they, and it's not like I forced it out. No.
No. No, and the thing is, also, why this is important to me is it's just a simple understanding of it is food.
Yes,
it
it's food.
It is food.
It's food. So what you want to do also with your wraps, again, have a salad, like have meat in your wrap. You can have chicken, you can have beef, you can have whatever you want, but stuff it with vegetables. Mm. Grated carrots, slices of radish. Mm. Just go wild. Slices of peppers. I promise you, even if you don't like vegetables, you will love that wrap.
And the nice thing about a wrap as well, as a person, it's on the, you're on the go.
Yes.
You put it in foil.
Foil,
wrap it
exactly.
Up, so it's easy to eat.
To
at
eat.
Lunch.
Exactly.
Lunchtime while they're hanging out with their friends.
Yes.
Or even for you when you're running around. Also,
exactly.
As you say, leftover meat. I've done wraps
yes.
where it's like leftover chicken.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and you have some
cream cheese. Exactly.
You know, it's very
even tuna. You could even
exactly.
use tuna in there. Whatever you want to put in there. Mm. You can have a pro. That's the nice thing about it. It's almost like a meal in a wrap. That's
exactly,
what it is.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
you can have protein in there, but always make sure you've got vegetables in there.
Mm.
Always make sure you've got your vegetables because you need those vegetables.
Mm.
You need that energy from the vegetables, and it doesn't sit in your body. It moves everything
it moves.
Along. Yes,
it
you know,
moves.
Roughage, fiber, all that.
Yeah.
And you need that. You need, especially now in Jan, when you're trying to reset your body after all that craziness.
The big days.
Oh my God, the long lunches that
exactly.
end up as dinners that end up as cocktails at 3 a.m.
Exactly. It's the boozy lunches.
The boozy lunches,
exactly.
you know, you need to reset your body.
Yeah.
And another thing that I do, I'm sorry to divert a little bit, that I've done now, just to reset my body. And I think it's now become a habit. I don't eat, I intermittent fast.
Mm-hmm.
I stop eating at 9 and then the next time I eat is at 1.
Okay.
Or at 12.
Okay.
So it's 16-hour fasts.
Okay.
And I promise you something, you know, you that whole thing that you must wake up in the morning and eat something. No. That's such a
in that either.
You know that one. That
yeah,
you must wake
like,
up and
yeah,
eat something. You
eat.
Must breakfast. It's like sometimes your system is too overloaded.
Yeah.
Just drink some lemon water.
Yeah.
Or drink a glass. I normally make imbiza. I call it imbiza.
Okay.
But what it is I grate turmeric, grated turmeric, grated ginger and a teaspoon of moringa and I boil that and I drink that. It is so delicious. It actually, with no sugar, no honey, no nothing. I just
wow.
drink it and that's my imbiza. It literally resets my body.
Wow.
I swear by it.
Okay, so then where do I get moringa?
Moringa you can get even at discount.
Okay.
They've got it in little sachets. Nature's Choice has got moringa. A whole lot of actually product groups now are coming out with their own moringa powders, but there's moringa powder you can get.
Okay.
Is easily available.
Okay.
And you just boil it. A teaspoon of moringa, ginger, grated turmeric. If you don't have fresh turmeric, you can use a teaspoon of the dried ground turmeric.
Okay.
And you just boil that and you drink with, I always have a squeeze of lemon in there.
Yeah.
And that's my imbiza. I'll have 3-4 cups of that and I promise you, your system starts to work.
No, it's fantastic. Several years ago, if you just finished it now, I was going to ask you, like after the show, you got me hibiscus.
Yes.
And so what I do is that I have hibiscus.
Yes.
And then I
grate some ginger.
I have some lemon. I put some honey. And
yes.
It
yes.
is
so delicious. Yes. And hibiscus
is high in vitamin C.
Dude, it's high in vitamin C. It resets your body.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You need those are easy things.
Exactly.
Easy things, you know?
And also, if you don't want to eat, one of the things I do, because I'm not a big breakfast person,
yeah.
I have smoothies now.
Yes.
I make smoothies at home.
Yes.
So, day before yesterday, I made banana and mango. I wanted it to be one color.
Yes.
So, I made banana, mango, added ice, and some yogurt,
yes.
obviously, for consistency.
Yes.
And it was
delicious. Nice. What I then do is that with my intermittent fast, because some people really need to have breakfast.
Yeah.
So, what you do is, you have, when you wake up, you do the imbiza, you drink that. Even if it's just a slice, if it's just lemon juice with water, warm lemon juice with water, it will reset your system. Even if, you have to have breakfast in the morning. Just drink that before you eat anything on an empty tummy. And then have a smoothie.
Exactly.
A smoothie, I promise you, oh my word.
It'll keep you going.
It'll keep you going. And you can add moringa into your smoothie. Oh. You can add all sorts of things, you know, that will give you that energy. And come lunchtime, you are fine. You're not shaking. You're not thinking, what time is lunch? What time is lunch?
You know, the smoothie. Your body, the smoothie will keep you going. So I had a smoothie at 9 in the morning today. I had a berry one. Because I knew my day was going to be intense. Later on, I have lunch. And by the time I eat, I'm still fine. I actually don't feel like my energy levels are high. Because obviously.
Exactly. You know, you can make rational decisions around your lunch.
Exactly.
Because you know when you're hungry. You eat anything.
You're not thinking. You are not thinking.
You're like, give me the packet of chips right now.
Exactly. I can't believe, Mukhari, we only have 15 minutes left.
Oh my
this
God.
This is so ridiculous. I often ask myself, like, where did the time go? Okay. So I also wanted to ask about, like, so when we talk, people eat a lot of meat. In a normal week, what should you be having? Like, in a normal week, how much protein should you be having? How much vegetables should you be having? Should you spread it out? And I know we used to do meat-free Mondays.
Look, I normally, I'll do like 3 times a week, I'll have meat. And then the rest of the time, I play around with my veggies. And also, you know, protein, you don't just get protein from meat. You also get protein from lentils. You get protein from beans. You get protein from quinoa. Quinoa is amazing. You know, you have like a big bowl of quinoa salad. You can throw in whatever roasted vegetables you want and some avo. There's your protein there, right there, you know. And if you add lentils and you add beans and you add nuts in there, double the protein. Do you know what I'm saying? Wow. So you can play around with your veggies. So I normally do 3 days a week of meat. And by meat, it'll be fish, chicken, and maybe a roast on Sunday.
That's
do you know what I'm saying? Because, and then I'll have fish in between. I'll even have tuna. You play around, you know. And, you know, that whole thing that you have to have meat as part of your meal all the time is really not true.
No, it's not really true. It's and what you'll find, I mean, as you can see, both Mukhari and I are cooks. I want to add this, that I started cooking when I was 27, okay?
Yeah.
And so you should not think that you should be making your own quinoa pans.
No.
And you mustn't think like, okay, yo, they sound so iconic. Yeah. Raw things are a good way to start cooking.
Exactly.
Things that you can put in an oven that you don't have to think about.
The oven is my friend.
The oven is the best
you
thing
just
in the
chop
world.
Everything, throw it in the oven and go about your day.
Exactly. Yeah. You can send emails, you can have a bath, you can watch.
Exactly.
And so you can start easy. I don't want you to be intimidated by what Mukhari and I are saying. We don't want you to go home and think, oh, I'd never be that. If I could cook just before I 30, anybody
can.
And that was one of the most amazing. It's like I make my own bread.
Exactly. Well. Because you love, you know, you're aware also. You're aware of what you're putting in your. Yeah. You know, there's something beautiful about making your own food.
Exactly. Also, when you have allergies, what happened with me is that I had more and more allergies. And a lot of children these days.
Do you have allergies?
Genetically modified food.
Everything.
So when you see big, giant strawberries that are shiny,
run.
Ask yourself, hey,
what kind of a strawberries
is this? You know what I mean? So the more natural the things are, the less prone
to allergies. Yes.
You know? So that's why it's important to make your own things. And so you can also make your own. Those wraps that Mukhari was talking about, you can make those into pizza.
What I
used to do is to put some harissa.
I saw that. Ooh!
Put some harissa. And it's not like you can do that and also in the oven. You can do that so quickly.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be a serious.
No, even, I mean, like a normal, like a basic gravy, you know, tomato and onion gravy, don't put too much, just add some tomato onion gravy, add some basil on your pizza thing.
Yep.
Use that gravy as the base, some cheese, chicken, papa, you're done. Even you're even in Jan, you're good.
Exactly.
And whereas when you've got no money.
And it's better than some of the
yes, the stuff that's out there.
Mayonnaise-y pizza rubbish.
Exactly. That you don't know. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, you're getting two for a price of one, but how good is it for you?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So... And when you are out, when people are out, by the way, we only have 10 minutes with Mokgadi now. But like I said, you can follow her on Instagram. It's Mokgadi Itsweng. Mm-hmm. Two eyes for the Mokgadi and Itsweng. And you can go to our Facebook page, Living It Up. My friend is looking so amazing. Like,
thank you.
I'm just saying. And you'll be able to listen, take notes. And what's wonderful about a podcast is that you can listen to us whether you're in Lagos, Nigeria, or New York City.
That's lovely.
You download it. You listen at your leisure. And then later on, Mokgadi will be giving details out, and she will she will be here. You're gonna be a regular now. People are gonna hear you.
Thank you. Of course, I'm gonna be a regular on your show.
So I wanted to ask Mokgadi, when people are going out, a lot of the people, you can watch your diet, obviously, when you're...
Yes.
But you can't take his kaftin to a restaurant.
No.
So when you are eating out, what kind of things are you... should people look out for? Because there's a lot of things hidden there in the food.
Definitely. I always ask... I mean, you know, at a restaurant, they're not going to give you the label.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you, I put this and this and this in the food.
Yeah.
What I normally do is, first of all, with any restaurant, make sure you don't overeat the bread that they give you, the bread with the thick butters and whatever. Have one little piece and then let it go.
Yeah.
Do you know? Pace yourself. But more than anything, salads. Salads, start with the salad. Always start with the salad. Even if it's just a basic salad to share on the table. Mm. Always start with the salad. What it does is that it takes away that urge to overeat.
Yeah.
It just kind of like paces you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Start with the salad and make sure if for instance there's something you don't understand on the menu, ask what's in there. You know? What ask what's in there. A lot of Chinese restaurants use MSG.
MSG. Okay, we need to talk about MSG.
Yeah.
Can we just park on MSG?
Yeah.
What is MSG? Because people ask me that all the time, because I'm also like, you shouldn't, that shit is bad for you. But
MSG.
Like,
MSG is mono something something glutenite.
Yeah.
But basically what it is it's a flavorant. And it looks like salt, actually. But they sell it at Chinese restaurants. I mean, at Chinese supermarkets and stuff. They add it to their food to basically add flavor to the... So if, for instance, you've got... In the food, you've got chili. The chili will taste more like chili. If you've got paprika, the paprika will have more. It just... it fools your tongue into believing that something is more than what it is. Which is why they add it. So it's actually not even necessary.
No, it's not. And you know what? With the fresh ingredients, you can... The flavor can be just...
The flavor is there. Exactly.
Without having
to... Without having to... Yeah. And that's what it is. And it's not good for you. Because it's... Again, it's that extra thing they add into your food that you don't need.
Yeah. And I've had reactions from Chinese food.
Of course.
Go and look. We can't mention the brands. But the brands that black people love using in salt.
Yeah.
That have MSG.
MSG. Yeah.
And it is so bad. We put it on...
On everything.
We put it on everything. In maize meal.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hint at something without saying a brand.
Exactly.
And we need to be very careful of MSG.
Yeah.
And you can use herbs.
Yes.
Real to actually...
To actually add... Yes.
You don't have to have placebo flavor. That is placebo.
It is placebo flavor. It's not real.
It's not good for you.
No.
It's not good for you.
No.
I had a breakout with a friend after going to a Chinese restaurant because there was so much damn MSG
exactly.
in the food.
Exactly.
So for people who are listening... Other than herbs, what do you to people who are used to using that salt that is not really salt?
Yeah, make your own seasoning salt.
Yeah,
it's easy.
It's so easy.
It's dried so easy. Dry chili, or you can just, if you're not a chili, like you can just do salt, sea salt, herbs.
Yeah,
dried herbs.
Yeah,
there.
Dried parsley. Mix it together.
Yeah, mix it together and then put it in a grinder. If it's those people who don't, you know, like ground salt, you can use the sea salt or Himalayan salt that's been ground, or you can grind it yourself and then add the herbs in there.
Exactly.
Voila, the herbs will add so much flavor.
Yeah.
Even dried garlic. Yeah. You add dried garlic in there, it will add so much flavor to your food. You will never use any other crazy salt ever again.
You really, really, really won't. And I know we're sounding like food warriors, but you really, really, really won't. It's, and over the next couple of months, Mohadi, we'll get into different things as we go along, whether it's how to, what to make for dinner parties, or we'll theme it as the same way we did with the magazine.
Yes,
but
exactly.
I think both you and I are, we need to say this categorically, that we want to help people eat well.
Better. Eat better. Yeah. Eat well. Get better.
Because you live well when you eat well.
Yes, I promise you, you live longer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people think, I'm making money now, I can eat whatever. But how, you're not going to live long to even enjoy that money.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? You have to, people that live, know how to live, that are really well, your health is really your health.
But if Oprah Winfrey can carry a scarf thing,
you understand,
from things that she made, took from her garden.
Yeah.
Guys, no. And I know for us, it's like, oh, I have money, so I'm going to get the food. No, like, make your own food.
Yes.
It's wonderful. You know what you're eating. It looks delicious.
Yes.
And also make your food look nice.
Exactly.
So try and have something green. Something green is so
definitely
crucial.
All the time. Even when you go out, make sure you start with the salad. I know sometimes, like, oh, I don't want a salad. Start with the salad. It helps pace you.
Yeah.
Then instead of having a whole two kilograms of ribs with 10 slices of bread, just have a salad and maybe 500 grams of ribs.
Of ribs to temper. You need it.
Yes,
right?
You do.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So, Mohadi, for people who want to get in touch with you, and obviously we'll read out your details ad nauseam, where can they email you? Which is a good address, particularly if also they want to hire you for catering service, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mohadi at 16 Stitches is still the one, but Mohadi.Itsweng@gmail is one that I'm always checking.
Okay.
So it's Mohadi.Itsweng@gmail.com. On my Insta, you are Mohadi Itsweng, one word. On Twitter, Locha Home Foods, Locha, LOTSHA, Home Foods with an S. And on Facebook, it's Mohadi Itsweng. So you can inbox me, you can, no proposals, please.
No proposals, no dick pics.
No,
keep your dick pics,
please.
No, thank you. So just one more time, that's mokgadi.itsweng@gmail.com.
Yes.
And on Twitter, it's Locha Home Foods,
LOTSHA HOMEFOODS. Yes.
And it's on Insta and on Facebook is Mohadi Itsweng.
Yes.
She is a food entrepreneur. She is a mother. She is, in fact, I wanted to read you out what she says on Twitter before we go. I love your bio. I'm always like, I always love reading people's bios. Like, She says she's a spiritual being, having an earthly experience as a mommy, private chef, a gardener, a food stylist, a writer, a traveler, and a lover of beautiful things, and also my friend. So this podcast will be up. You'll be able to send it to your friends no matter where they are, whether they're in our favorite city in the world, in New York,
or anywhere. Yes.
Anywhere else in the world. Lagos to Nigeria. We're live and direct. This is CliffCentral.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, my friend, for having me. Outstanding. We've been outstanding.
You.
We're back again next week, Thursday, from 12 until 1. And next week, we're talking fashion. You know, it's award season, so we've got all kinds of red carpet events happening.
Whoa.
So we're going to be sitting down with, I have two people. Either want to sit down with, you know, both of them.
Of course.
Papama.
Yes, Papama. I love Papama. I love butter pudding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Butter pudding.
Yes.
And one of my favorite friends and stylist, Bumi.
I know Bumi. Yes, I know Bumi.
We
awesome people.
That beautiful Destiny cover with Mom Esther.
With Mama Esther, exactly.
That was
she
styled
did that
by her.
Yes, I remember.
So we're going to be talking fashion next week. It's going to be exciting. We're going to look at, like, who's been killing it, who do you love, what are the trends, you know. So it's living it up. Fashion, food, travel, music,
all
dining,
the things that you love.
All the things that
are you, my friend.
I'm making my passion my purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Just, what he do it? Catch you guys next week again. Thank you so much. Signing out.
Thank you for having me.
Property, I'm trying to invest.
Money in by the neighborhood. That's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling? Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block.
buy back the block, buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood, buy back the hood.
This is CliffCentral.com.